Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about something kind of unusual, and there's just really no great lead-in for it. I'm going to talk to you about dust. Generally, we know what dust is. It's dirt. It's that fine, loose, dry dirt that floats and blows and drifts everywhere, easily, all the time. So we know what dust is. There is surprisingly a lot of scripture about dust in the Bible. And dust had a lot of different connotations in the ancient Near East culture. So I want to first talk about some of those interesting meanings of dust. The first one is that to place dust or ashes on one's head was a sign of sorrow or mourning. And we see that a lot in the book of Job. Job is full of dust references. When Job was afflicted and his family and friends first laid eyes on him, they hardly recognized him, and they began to weep aloud, and they put dust on their heads, you know, as a sign of, oh my goodness, what is happening to you is terrible. Dust is also a sign of repentance. Job, again, at the end of Job, after God, you know, he's talked to God and God's talked to him, he says, therefore I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. So dust is a sign of repentance. And, you know, we just come through the Lenten season, and on Ash Wednesday, many throughout the world still receive ashes on their forehead on Ash Wednesday as a sign of repentance and mourning over their sins. Dust also symbolizes death in the grave, and to return to dust is to die. Dust is also a metaphor for an abundance, a lot. If you remember in Genesis, when God was talking to Abram about how he was going to make a nation out of him, he told him that your offspring is going to be like the dust of the earth, so many that you can't count it. I mean, have you ever tried to count dust? It's not easy. So dust is a metaphor for a multitude. To sit in the dust is a sign of extreme affliction or humiliation. To rise from the dust is to be rescued or exalted. To throw dust is a sign of contempt. To shake the dust off of your feet is to break all ties with some place or someone. To make something dust is to destroy it completely. To lick the dust or to eat dust, ew, is a sign of abject submission, of humiliation, or powerlessness before an enemy. We see in Genesis 3, where right after Adam and Eve sinned, and the Lord cursed the serpent, this is what he said. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And then we see in Exodus, when Moses is talking to Pharaoh about, you know, let my people go. We've already been through two plagues. We're at the third plague now. And this is what God says. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on all the people, all the animals, all the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. Now think about that. That's a lot of gnats. And if you read it in the King James, it's called lice. Yeah, horrible. Either way, it's horrible. So Scripture tells us that we came from dust. In Genesis, God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. Genesis 3 also says that we're going to return to dust. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. So we came from dust, and we're going to return to dust. Now, this is all fascinating, I know. You're fascinated. But this is not what made me want to talk about dust. When Terry asked me to preach a couple of weeks ago, I was like, well, what am I going to talk about? I don't know. Usually I'm assigned something to talk to you about. And this was like a free day. We're in between series. So it's like I could talk about whatever I want. And so it was a couple Saturdays ago, and I was doing some spring cleaning. That was when I actually thought spring was coming. It was just a joke. And I looked around my house, and it was so dusty. I mean, it was so dusty. Like, Steve will tell you, I was angry. I was on a rant. I was really, really angry about the dust, because especially when the western sun would come in my kitchen, I have a really, really pretty dark bamboo floor in my kitchen. It's awesome. Until the western sun shines in it, and it's like there's dust everywhere. You would think that we've never, ever dusted our floor. And we do, like we dust, okay? But it was just so ugly. And so we went, I said, this is terrible. I said, we can dust, but it's all just going to fly around and land on everything again. I said, I feel like we need to just hose down our entire house and just wash it down the drain. Like the dust will just wash away. So we did that in our bedroom. We both got like bowls and we were like wiping everything and wringing and washing and, you know, so we kind of got our bedroom clean. But by bedtime, because I have like a really dark color dresser, so again, the dust shows up. By bedtime, I looked at my dresser, and there was already dust on it again. And I was like, and then the Lord was like, as so often happens with many things, the spiritual applications just started exploding in my head. And so here we are. We're going to talk about dust. So someday I'll preach about what God tells me when I'm gardening and pulling weeds, but that's for another day. Today we're going to talk about dust. So here are some of the things that I thought about regarding dust. And the first thing is that we live in a dusty environment, right? Dust is in the air and it lands on everything. Even when we're careful about keeping things clean, the cleanest among us still has dust. Unless you're like my grandmother, who had the plastic zippered covers for her Davenport. In case you don't know what a Davenport is, that is an old-fashioned word for a sofa. And like the plastic, it kept it clean, but like who wants to sit on that? So even the most meticulous housekeeper is eventually going to have dust. Metaphorically, the dust of our culture, it lands on us. Everyday living, we get dusty. It collects on us, and it can cloud and dampen our relationship with the Lord if we don't take care of it. It can dampen our ability to hear him, to recognize his voice. Everyday dust comes from a lot of different things. One of those things is stress. You know, the stress of whatever. We get stressed about everything. Worry can cause dust to collect. Our exposure to the toxins of social media, dust. What we watch, what we listen to. Have you ever just felt dirty after you watched something on TV? Like you watched a show and you were just like, I need to go take a shower. You know, really. I mean, that's like the dust of our culture that lands on us. Some of you spend every day in toxic work environments with coworkers or superiors that are just nasty. And everything that comes out of their mouth is blame or accusation or threats. And that's dust. Some of you work jobs that are just hard, and you deal with difficult things at your work, and it's not the kind of job where you can just leave it at home. You bring it home with you, and it's dust. Our schools for our students have become a place of bullying, of humiliation. The pressure to conform is enormous, and if you're different, you're a freak. You know, the strong rule, and the weak and the vulnerable have no voice and no power, and there's a lot of our kids that are walking around covered with dust. Some of you teachers work in school environments, and you get a lot of dust thrown at you. I'll tell you what, I have a sister that is a teacher, and she works in a really rough place. And she gets told things by 12-year-olds that every day that I just would never even think of speaking out loud ever to anyone. And she hears it every day. Some of you live that, and it's dust. Many in our culture live in homes that are just poisonous, where you're lobbing grenades of hurtful things back and forth at each other, and that shrapnel cuts you and it hurts, and the wound is real and the wounds are deep, and it's dust. Some of you are caring for aging parents, and it's hard, and it's dust. Betrayal, unmet expectations, hurt feelings, there are a host of things that will make what I call the everyday dust. It collects on us, and it can cloud our relationship with the Lord. So the second point I want to make is that dust requires cleaning. It's obvious, I know. But I want to make a couple of important distinctions about dust. I talked about everyday dust, and we're going to talk about that more in a second. But there are actually several kinds of dust that we're going to talk about today. When I bought my house, it came with its own dust, free of charge. It was original dust. It came with my house. There's nothing that I could do about it. No matter how hard I try, truly, I will never get rid of the dust that came with my house. When we're born, we come with our own dust. It's called the dust of original sin. Thank you, Adam and Eve. So we come with our own dust. Romans 3 tells us that in our original state, no one is righteous. No one. But here's the really great news. So even though no one's righteous in our original state, Jesus made it possible for us to be righteous, to have the dust of Adam, the dust of our original sin, washed away. This is what it also says in Romans 3. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, that's everybody here, to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So, I can never rid my own, house of the original dust that it came with, but my spiritual house can be cleaned from its original dust. Thank you, Jesus. Right? So the original dust can be washed away. I can't do it myself. All right? I can't make myself clean. I need Jesus to make me clean. He makes us clean when He saves us. And really, our only option is to come to Him. That's the only way. And when He saves us and when He makes us clean, He doesn't just make us clean. He makes us white as snow. Psalm 51 talks about that. White as snow. We saw a lot of snow this week, so you know what I'm talking about. So once Jesus makes us clean from the original dust that we're born with, how do we stay clean? Because like we talked about, I mean, everyday dust happens. Even the cleanest, most meticulous house cleaner gets dust. Even the most holy, righteous, spiritual person in this room still has everyday dust. The everyday dust lands on all of us and it accumulates. And how do we deal with it? So there's a couple of obvious points here. And the first is that there's some dust that we can avoid. Okay? So, you know, obviously we can't keep ourselves zipped in plastic like my grandma's Davenport because we work, we go to school, we go to the grocery store, we, you know, people honk at us for no reason, like stuff happens. But we can minimize our exposure to the dust. So evaluate. What are the things in your life that just make you dusty? Or maybe it's people. Maybe there are people that are in your life and they're just not good for you. What places do you go that are just not good for you? What things do you watch or listen to that just aren't good for you? Like, we can be wise and we can make some decisions about those things and we can minimize our exposure to the dust. So, like, think about what can you do for your own self to minimize your own exposure to dust. Second obvious point is that, well, we need to regularly and intentionally clean the dust. We need to clean. But how do we do this spiritually? You know, what do we do with all the everyday dust? Well, there's an interesting passage in John 13 that I want to read for you. This is Jesus at the Last Supper. Jesus got up from the meal, and he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." And he was referring to Judas there. So this is really interesting. Jesus makes us clean when he saves us. But we see metaphorically here that Jesus also keeps us clean. So clearly Jesus isn't going to get a wash basin and come and, you know, sponge us off like he did the disciples' feet in this foot washing passage. But he keeps us clean by contact with him, by interaction with him. And he does this in a variety of ways. Sometimes Jesus makes us clean with confession. Sometimes we need to confess some things. We need to come before him and we need to say, "Oh, I said this, I did this thing, I thought this, and it wasn't right, and forgive me." And sometimes confession before our Lord is what we need, and it washes off that dust. Being washed of the everyday dust can also happen in worship, whether it's corporate or private worship. I mean, today's worship was just was wonderful. Thank you, band. Thank you, Steve. It was just wonderful. Doesn't it feel refreshing to your soul to just be in his presence here together? We're being washed when we do that. He washes us from this everyday dust when we just sit with him and hear him speak to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word, and he washes us through his word. He washes us also when we spend time with him and we speak to him in prayer, and then, like Steve said, when we shut up and listen. Sometimes we spend so much time talking, we forget to just quietly listen to what it is he has to say to us. And as we talk to him, as we spend time with him, as we listen to him, the everyday dust of this world is washed away. So we live in a dusty environment, and it requires regular cleaning. We can't make ourselves clean, and we can't keep ourselves clean. This is why there's never a once and done with Jesus. There's never a, you know, thanks for the bath, I got it from here. We need him every day, every week, every moment of our life. It's not a once and done. So the third point that I want to make is that light exposes the hidden dust. So this is the part that's hard. This is the part that's ugly. I don't like to think that there's hidden dust in my house. I mean, I'm not a meticulous housekeeper, but I like to keep a clean house. But I'm telling you, when that western sun, that intense sun shines in the afternoon, and it shows all of that that's on my stuff, it's kind of embarrassing. It's really kind of embarrassing. And I have shades in my kitchen, and sometimes it's really tempting to just pull the shades and the dust disappears. It's really great. And I often do that. I do that because darkness hides the dirt and the dust. And we can do the same thing spiritually, can't we? See, Jesus said in John 8, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And that's great. Jesus is the light of the world. Thank you for the light. But I'll tell you, that light is intense. And sometimes when the light of the presence of Jesus shines on my life, I just want to hide because it exposes my stuff. It exposes my failings, my weaknesses, my compromises, my secret sins. It shines a light on hypocrisy in my life. It shines a light on language or habits that are not becoming of a disciple of Christ. It shines a light on attitudes or prejudices that maybe I've never even said out loud, but he knows. This hidden dust represents all the areas of my life that he wants to clean up in order to make me more like him. And his light exposes it all. It exposes me for what I am. And I can either pull the shades and retreat into the shadows and tell myself that I'm okay and ignore all the things that he wants to do in my life. Or I can let him clean up all of that hidden dust and become more like him. Because that's what the point of it is. So there's good news. See, God cares about our dust. He knows about our dust, and he cares about our dust. This is what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 103. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers that we're dust. He knows. He knows all about our dust. He knows about our weaknesses. He knows about all of our dirt. And he calls to us. He calls us into the light, but he won't force us to be clean. And he will not drag us into the light. We have to come to him. This is what it says in John chapter 3, starting with verse 3:16, which is one of the most famous. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil, and they pulled the shades. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So we've talked about three kinds of dust. We've talked about the original dust that came with the house. Jesus paid the price so that we could be made clean from our original dust. We have our everyday dust that will always require cleaning. And every one of us, 100% of us in here, experiences everyday dust. And it should keep us connected to Jesus for the rest of our lives. And then we have the hidden dust that the Lord wants to clean up in order to make us more like him. But in closing, I want to tell you about one more kind of dust. People who live in arid desert climates know about dust. And in first century Palestine, where Jesus lived, they knew about dust. They walked on dirt roads, and they wore sandals, and that's the equation for dirty feet. So in that culture, foot washing was basic hospitality. And we read that passage where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Foot washing was basic hospitality in that culture. Just like when someone comes to our home, we say, "Hi, can I take your coat? Here, why don't you have a seat? And can I get you anything to drink?" In Jesus' culture, it was like, "I'm going to get a bucket because you're not bringing that dirt in here." So dirt and dust were a part of life. Jewish boys, if they were truly exceptional, were chosen to study the Hebrew scriptures with a rabbi. And this rabbi or teacher would teach them, and this was instead of these boys learning their family trade. This type of education was really personal, and it was really intense. The rabbi didn't just teach these disciples the Hebrew scriptures. They lived what they believed the scriptures taught. Okay, the rabbis lived what they believed the scriptures taught. And then as the disciples followed them, the disciples would listen, and they would imitate, and they would watch so that they could be just like their rabbi. And in hopes of someday growing up and being their own rabbi and having their own disciples. So they would follow their rabbi for years and, you know, again, eventually maybe become a rabbi themselves. And there's a Hebrew saying that evolved, and this originated from way before the time of Christ, and the saying goes something like this: be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And this is your fill-in-the-blank, your one fill-in-the-blank that's in your handout, if you've been waiting for that. Be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And the source of this saying is a quote from an ancient rabbi named Yose ben Yoezer, and it's in the Mishnah. Now, a Mishnah is a collection of rabbinic thought from 200 BC to 200 AD, and this still forms the core of Jewish belief today. So this quote in the Mishnah by Rabbi Eliezer says this: "Let thy house be a meeting house for the wise, and powder thyself in the dust of their feet, and drink their words with thirstiness." Now, commentators have recognized that there's multiple possible interpretations for what this saying means. The first thing it could mean is, sit in the dust on the ground at their feet while they are teaching. Because this was the posture of learning. And I think, Ethan, I think I have a slide for that shows that. So this is the posture of learning. You would sit on the ground around your teacher and learn. So sit in the dust at their feet while they teach is one thing it could possibly mean. Another thing that this saying could mean is follow them so closely that the dust that they stir up with their feet falls on you. So either way, whichever interpretation that you like, the big idea of this phrase is the student, the disciple, should always remain within the influence of the master, the master's dust. So Scripture tells us that we came from dust and that we're going to return to dust, and in the meantime, we're going to live in dust. So the question is, whose dust do you want to be covered in? What kind of dust do you want to have on you? Do you want to have the dust of this world? Or do you want to live in the dust of your master? Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." Jesus calls us to follow him, to step out of the darkness and into the light. The band is coming, and they're going to lead us in a closing song. What has you dusty? What has you dusty? Maybe it's just the dust of every day. Maybe it's just been a really hard week. This was a really hard week for me. And I feel a little dusty. Maybe you've got some hidden dust in your life, and you know it, and you pulled the shades because you just don't want God dealing with it. Maybe you have some hidden dust. Maybe you still have some original dust, and you've never been saved, and you've never received Christ as your Savior. What has you dusty? And as the band plays and sings, I invite you to come and be washed if you'd like, to come and pray. I invite you to join me. Jesus proclaimed to us that he is the light of the world in many different ways and in many places in Scripture. But he also said this in Matthew 5. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We can't let our light shine if we're covered with the dust of this world. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Jesus, thank you for your light. Thank you for the light that came and paid the price to make us clean. Thank you for the light that shines in those places in our lives that we would maybe rather not look at. But thank you that you care about our dirt and that you want to make us clean. Thank you. Thank you for making us clean. And Jesus, I pray for my friends here who come from many different places, many different dusty places of this world. And I pray that you would protect them, Jesus. I pray that you would give them wisdom about how to keep themselves as free from dust as possible. I pray that you would watch over them and protect them. And I pray that you would make us clean and wash us and make us a light wherever you place us, Jesus. You are so good and we love you so much. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you would go with my friends. Keep them safe. Keep us warm until spring comes. And we love you. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.